I want us to take a look at the end day church. And I want, if you would, to take a look with me through scripture. And I'm going to read a few scripture this morning, and I won't keep you long, but I want to lay a foundation. And the Word of God is the only place I can lay a foundation. If I don't speak words based on the Word of God, then we're wasting our time and effort here. And there's too many churches this morning going to give a message on psychobabble and nothing about the Word of God. So if you'll go with me to 2 Peter first, I wasn't going to give this portion of Scripture this morning, but I feel prompted to do so. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to read with verse 9. Oftentimes there's a scripture that is quoted 1,000 years as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. And it's often quoted to say that, well, you know, a day to us is like 1,000 years to God, or 1,000 years to us is like a day to God. But God works on a 24-hour basis with us. He's the one that created the 24-hour day. If you'll remember in the book of Genesis, whenever God created the earth, the first thing he did, he said the evening and the morning was the first day. I want you to realize that every day was started in darkness. It was the evening and the morning. Every day started in darkness and ended in daylight. I want you to remember that, because it's really important for us today to understand that. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, let's look at verse 5. I want you to understand the composition of the scripture when it talks about 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. In verse 5 it says, "For this they willingly are ignorant." Listen to what scripture is saying. It says, I don't want you to be ignorant. He says they're willingly ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth was standing out of the water and in the water. Verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It's speaking about the creation. It's talking about a time when God destroyed the earth, he recreated it. This is the subject of the matter. And then it says in verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be fully understand. I fully understand this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. What is he talking about? He's talking about creation. Then he says, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. It seems that what he's speaking of here, every day of creation represents 1,000 years of time. Every day of creation represents 1,000 years of time. From Adam to now is about, we're moving into the 7,000th year. We're moving into the 7,000th year from the time of the recreation, when God placed Adam on earth. What does that mean? Well, there's a couple of things that means. We're getting ready to go into the seventh day of rest. Remember, every day starts out in darkness and ends in light. So this day, this 7,000th year, is going to start in darkness. It's going to start in darkness with the church, It's going to start in darkness with the world, the tribulation period, and then it's going to end in eternal light with Jesus Christ as ruler and with God in rule. Understand that. The tribulation is the darkness. I said to my church 20-some years ago when I was pastoring, there is a cloud of the Antichrist that is coming on the horizon. It's going to get darker and it's going to get darker. Now, I'm going to back what I'm saying with Scripture here. I believe there is a darkness on the face of the earth. And so with that, I'm going on to 2 Thessalonians. If you'll turn with me, I want you to go to Scripture with me on this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I want to speak from verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. There is a time, and I believe it is it now. I've never seen people so troubled. There is trouble in the church. There's trouble in the world. There's trouble on the job. Everybody is in an uproar. It's like there is a spirit that has a hold of people in general. Now let's go on with this. In verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Perdition means to an antichrist, it means a man of destruction. This world, now I said there was an antichrist spirit on the earth. I believe that that type of spirit is moving. I believe God has loosed an antichrist spirit upon the earth. I have never seen such a destructive mode that the world is in. We are destroying our planet. We are at war. We will probably be at war until Jesus comes. We are in a world war. Some people don't want to see it that way, but we are. I believe it's going to increase. There is a movement across this world to take control of the earth. There is a lot of things that are happening. We are seeing businesses merging until there is a huge control of business. Those small businesses are having more difficulty all the time in surviving because corporate business is becoming so huge that even big business is having a hard time staying in business because they're being overtaken continually. Almost every day you're seeing a merger or some kind or a takeover of some huge business taking over another, and people are losing their jobs and so forth because of these takeovers. So there is a time of upheaval. There is a time when it's trouble time, and the word says don't be troubled. Keep your faith. In verse 4, it says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now that is speaking of the Antichrist. There is going to be that one that is going to set himself up as God. Now, this spirit that I speak of is in the world today. We see science declaring there is no God. We see an atheist move. The atheist move is stronger than it's ever been. People are saying there is no God. Science is saying there is no God. We are seeing people that is rejecting the thought of God. The church itself is saying there is no coming of the Lord and don't even look for it. We are seeing, in fact, last year, for the first time in the history of the United States, statistically, United States became a non-Christian nation. That means that less than 50% of American people are non-Christian, are Christians. Over 50% are non-Christian. For the first time in the history of the United States, we have fallen below the majority. We are now a minority. If you're a Christian, you are in the minority now. So that means that we are a majority heathen nation. England and most of the European nations to this point are fully heathen. That's why when these books and movies come out, Harry Potter, that is spotlighting witchcraft, became knighted in England because they are a fully heathen nation. There is no, it is not Christian anymore, and has not been for several years. So this Antichrist spirit is like a dark cloud that is taking over. In verse 6 it says, "And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That is the Christians. Once the rapture is taken place, those that are praying and holding back this dark cloud is what's keeping us functional at all in this world. Once that is taken out, it will be a total takeover of chaos and destruction. In verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Verse 9, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power," listen to this, "with all power and signs and lying wonders." Now that's just important because I'm going to come back to this. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." This is another important point. They do not hold the love of the truth that they might be saved. I want that to stick in your minds. Verse 11, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion." This is another important point. "That they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who have believed not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness." Going back to Matthew, you say, are you ever going to quit reading Scripture? In just a moment. Matthew chapter 24. And we're about to stop, but I want to give you just another scripture or two. In Matthew chapter 24, let's look at verse 5. And it says, "And Jesus, and many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." You have seen an increase of natural disaster with biblical proportion in the last several years. In the last actual 5 to 10 years, you have seen a major increase of disaster. "All these are the beginning of sorrows." I want to go on down to, and you really should, well, let's go to verse 11. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." There's not a lot of love left in the world, is there? "But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved." I want to throw that in there because I want to leave this on a positive note. Going on down to verse 24, it says, "And there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Going back to Revelation, this will be our last scripture. I have told you from 2 Peter chapter 3 that there is this, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, is like 7,000 years of time. There are seven churches mentioned in Revelation. There is an interesting concept, one that I've studied quite at length, and it's quite a long message. Of course, we don't even have time to touch it today. But there is a thought where each of the seven churches represents 1,000 periods of the church. And the Laodicean church, being the seventh church, is the last day church. The church that now we see. Now let's take a look at this seventh church. This would be what we would see the church today. What is the church of today? Let's see what the Bible says about the Laodicean church, as we were to look into this. So we look at Revelation chapter 3 and looking at the 14th verse. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. In other words, I will puke you out, to be very crass. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. And he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, I will sit down with my Father in his throne. All right. Here is the thing that we need to look at. There is going to come a great falling away. I saw a picture some years ago where an artist depicted a little church standing alone by itself, all grown up in weeds, with the door closed due to the lack of interest. And we thought some years ago that that was what the great falling away would be. We thought that there would be churches closed and there would be no one attending church. But yet today we are seeing mega churches like we have never seen them before. We are seeing people going to church worldwide. We are seeing greater worldwide attendance to church than ever in the history of the world. This has confused a lot of religionists. This has really, as far as people saying, well, then this is not the time of the coming of the Lord, because there has never been a greater time of revival, quote unquote, or church attendance in the history of the world. So this is not the great falling away. However, I would like to differ from that. I believe this is the time of the great falling away. And I'm going to tell you why I really see it this way. Our churches are full. They are building greater churches, bigger churches, mega churches, TV churches. As a matter of fact, these churches are becoming so large that they're building satellite churches, and your pastor may be seen on a screen, as you said, in a full church, but there's no one in the pulpit, and all you're seeing is a screen. This is happening in Denver, where my niece goes to church. They don't have a pastor. Their pastor is in a city several miles away. They gather to church. The praise team gets up. They have their song service. And when it comes time for the pastor to preach, he's in a city several miles away, and they're looking at a screen of him. It's a huge mega church with satellite churches. These churches are springing up all over. It's the end thing. Before you go to church, you can go in and have breakfast or Starbucks or whatever you want. But these churches are being taught a philosophy. They're not being taught the Word of God. They're being taught modern psychology. How to live in modern psychology. They don't bother to bring their Bibles. They don't have to. They don't teach from the Bible. If they did, there are so many versions of the Bible that they don't even use Scripture because they don't know what version to use. You say, well, I notice you use the King James Version. Are you a King James purist? Well, maybe I am. But I'm telling you that as we copy the Bible, it's like when you copy a copy of a copy of a copy, it becomes so fuzzy, you don't know what it's saying anymore. But we have modernized the language until it's so far from the original language that we can now make up anything we want the Bible to say, and people will receive it. The Message Bible is one of the most diabolical things that has ever been written. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. Maybe you don't. They even talk about living on the other side of the tracks in that Bible. There was no such thing as tracks when that Bible was written. There was not even a train over 130 years ago. This is ludicrous. But people will buy this particular Bible and read it. Oh, this is so great. I can read it and understand it. You're reading a fictional story. I talked to a woman this past week who can sing all the modern music of the church. But I asked a simple question about a simple Bible story who couldn't tell me one thing about it, couldn't tell me the answer to one biblical question. Not one. Didn't even know what salvation was. Been in the church for 10 years, had no knowledge of what the Bible was or what it was all about. 10 years. That's a falling away from the truth, my friends, because people are going to the house of God for entertainment. Witchcraft will tell you that one third of their power is their music. One third of witchcraft power is in the music. If you can change the music of the church, you are taking one third of the power and changing it to something else. If you can get the people to sing the songs without the word and get their minds on that and get them void of the word of God, you've taken the Holy Spirit completely out, and that is a great falling away. There are very few churches anymore that are hanging on to the heritage of the music of the church and hanging on to the word of God and the heritage of the Pentecostal message. Oh, we believe in the Pentecostal message, we just don't talk about it anymore. Well, then you don't believe in it. anymore. I'm telling you today that there was a summit about 8 or 9 years ago where all the mainline denominations decided to come together. There was the Pentecostals came together with the mainline denominations, as well as Satanist witchcraft, Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, and all the major religions of the world came together in one building and sat together and declared that they were all serving the same God. That included the mainline Pentecostal religions, if you want to call them that, or movements, including the Assemblies of God and the Pentecostal Church of God heads, came together and sat together with Satanists and witches and had this summit together stating that we want to include everyone as people of a religion and acknowledge them. What's wrong? It's a great falling away. Let no man deceive you. Stay to the truth. There is some delusion that are coming. The Bible says, watch out for signs and wonders. There are ministries today that will tell you, I am a valid ministry because I have great signs and wonders to show you. It's by my signs and wonders that I am valid. The Bible says that does not mean that someone is valid by their signs and wonders. It said the very satanic operation of the Antichrist will show great signs and wonders. Don't go to the desert. Don't go to the mountains. And when they say they are here and they are there, don't run to them, because it is a phony ministry. They are false prophets, and don't run to them. Yet today, we are seeing people by the literal thousands trucking everywhere they can go to find one of these people that can touch somebody and they'll fall down, and there are false signs and wonders being shown in front of people. Yet they cannot verify one miracle. But they've got the hype going. Not long ago, there was this preacher that supposedly this great signs and wonders ministry. It would take you about 3 hours to read his body because he covered from head to foot with strange symbols all over his body, which, by the way, he got after he was called in the ministry, and not one of them were Christian. They're all Eastern symbols of Eastern religions and other satanic symbols on his body that he'd had tattooed there. What's wrong with that picture? But he said he's valid due to his signs and wonders. And by the way, he's been taken off the map now because he's got major problems. But the thing was, somebody tested him out. They brought a dead body in a hearse to him because he said he could raise the dead. But you know what? He got up and said, I can't raise the dead. It's your faith that's going to raise the dead body. And they took the dead body back to the mortuary. He could raise the dead, he said, every single night until they brought a dead body to him. And then he got up and said to the congregation, it's your faith if that body raises. See, it's your fault. And the body went back to the mortuary and is now in a grave. A lot of hype, saints of God. You may think your church, well, what's wrong with our church? It's a good, solid place where you can go and hear the Word of God. It's a good, solid place where you can take your Bible and it will be read. It's a good, solid place where you can go and join your faith together. It's a good, solid place where you can go join your faith together and you can pray together and you can learn together. Not a lot of hype and draw you from your faith. There was a movement some years ago that said that there is a problem. We have a problem because we cannot do a world takeover and we cannot deal with the church. The church is too powerful. If we allow the church to go in the direction it's going, we cannot deal with it because they're too powerful. They're people of prayer and they're people of miracles. There's two things we got to do. We got to steal their money and we've got to change their music. So they started a mission to change the music of the church and to draw them away from the powerful music of the Holy Spirit. And two, we got to infiltrate. And we've got to infiltrate certain ministries that will be able to take the money from the local church and filter it into a world church whereby we can steal the money so that real church cannot operate. And now in the last year, you are starting to hear the new modern doctrine of the doctrine of inclusion. The doctrine of inclusion is one whereby if you disagree, you are a militant and you will be talked about and you will be put down. This means that if you are a Christian and you talk against the Muslims or you talk against the Buddhists or you talk against Wicca, which is witchcraft, or you talk against Satanism, or you talk about any other religion of the world, you will be put down severely. Or if you disagree against the signs and wonders movement, against the fire movement. There is a fire movement. This is a signs and wonders movement where they call fire down on you. Fire. When you hear that, be careful and beware of it. They'll call fire. 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 When you hear that, that is a demonic term. Be careful of that. When you disagree with that and you say something against that, you will be put down severely because you are not in the doctrine of indoctrination of inclusion. Inclusion means you will accept anything and everything or you will be tagged an antagonist. You cannot stand up for your rights as a Pentecostal, your rights as a Christian. You will be tagged a militant and you will be tagged someone who is not tolerant. Have you ever heard in the workplace? Have you ever heard in the church? Have you ever heard in your world? You must be tolerant of everyone. If you're not tolerant of everyone, you are tagged someone who is a troublemaker. These things are happening in our world and it's happening in our church. This is part of the great falling away. The Antichrist movement is in great power right now. What are you going to do? What can we do? There are some things we can do. Number one, don't fall for the delusion. There is strong delusion upon the face of the earth in religion today. There is one way to stop that from happening to you. Don't fall for signs and wonders. Don't fall for the mega church psychobabble. Don't fall for these things. Stay true to the Word of God. Stay true to the truth. When anybody stands up and gives you the Word of God, make sure everything they say lines up to the Word. Take your Bible with you whenever you go to any meeting. Don't go without your Bible. And if they use some other version, when they say open up to a scripture, open your Bible and read it with them. And if it comes up short, then you have a right to question it or you have a right to get up and walk out and not include yourself in that kind of situation. Be careful what you let yourself in on. Don't let yourself be taken over by a spirit. there has been some movements whereby people have literally let themselves be taken over by demonic spirits in a church service. You say, I never heard of such a thing. I've been in Pentecost all my life, and that's getting to be a long time now. I have seen some things lately that I have never seen in all the years, and I've seen some mighty powerful moves of God, but I have seen some demonic things take over in what should have been the move of God was not a move of God. It was pure demonic. I watched some things here lately that I saw documentaries and voodoo, and it was the exact same thing as voodoo was. And I'm telling you, saints of God, when you go into a service somewhere or you visit someplace and you see something that is not connecting with your spirit, you need to move out of that area and go home. Don't let yourself be taken over. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Be people of prayer. Be vigilant. Watch out. And make sure that your loved ones know the Word of God. Do not allow yourself to be taken over by a theory. Don't allow yourself to be taken over by some kind of psychobabble. I don't care how good it sounds, they make it sound good. They make it sound right. But make sure it lines up with this. And if it doesn't, reject it. But the Word of God says, he that overcomes, he that stands true to the Word of God, that person that says, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ, I'm not letting my guard down, Jesus says, there's coming a day, I'm coming for them. I believe there is a true revival that is coming along. I don't believe it's going to be a big revival. I believe it's going to be a believer's revival among a remnant. It's a small revival among a few churches where God is going to bless His people who have had the guts to stay with Him through the end. I'm going to tell you that there are preachers that you know, and if I named their names, you would be shocked, that are Luciferian followers. They follow Lucifer because they are completely convinced that Lucifer is the true Messiah and that you are following a false Messiah. That is one of the delusions that Satan wants to make sure you understand. He's always wanted to be the Messiah. What he's going to do when he sets up the Antichrist, he's going to set himself up as the Messiah. He's setting that belief up now. So when he comes, they will accept him as the Messiah. Is he doing it just for the Jews? No, he's going to set it up for the church and everyone he can. His target just isn't the Jews. His target is the whole world. But you know better. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He's the one that shed his life blood at Calvary. He's the one that rose up from the dead. He's the one that ascended into glory. He is the one that is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you right now. Stay true to Jesus Christ, because there is a day coming when the trump of God shall sound and all the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive will go be caught up to meet Him in the air. That is coming. Just as I'm standing here, that day is fastly coming. But only those that are looking for Him, because the Luciferians are going to stand right here when the rapture takes place and they're going to miss the mark and not even know He came. But it's up to you to stand true. It's up to you to lead your children into truth. It's up to you to hold the truth of your heritage until the day you draw your last breath. And if you draw your last breath before Jesus comes, you get to go first. But make sure, we are starting out in darkness, friends. The cloud is getting thick. The 7,000th year has begun. I honestly believe it. The rapture's coming soon. The last day is starting out in darkness, but it's going to remain in eternal light as Jesus Christ and God the Father rule for eternity. It's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will be worth it all. I'm going to ask those to come back to the piano and let's sing "It Will Be Worth It All." Let's stand for Jesus. Let's be ready to go when He comes. There is a great falling away. I hate to come up here today and say there is, but there's not a great falling away in this church. This church has made a determination. I will stand. I will be there. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus.